You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers. Join your hosts, Abby Rotstein, writer, mental health advocate, and stand-up comic, and Amanda Edens, fiction editor for self-publishing writers, to navigate the writer's life and the writing process. You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Ask Your Editor. I have Abby with me as well. We are going to talk today about imposter syndrome. This is a hot button topic for writers specifically, but I wanted to back it up for just a second and say that I think the majority of people, not even just writers, experience imposter syndrome. In fact, I want to tell a story to head off this episode about when I started a position at a new company. A lot of you know my day job is in marketing. And, you know, I had a few years of experience under my belt, but it was doing more specifically editorial related things with regard to marketing. And I started a new position where I was, you know, more of a generalist and more of a strategist than I had been in the past. And we were in a meeting one day, and in my company, we do a lot of like personal development with our employees, and, you know, the bosses really care about how we're all doing. And for some reason, the subject of imposter syndrome came up in that meeting, you know, specifically since I was the new employee in the company. The boss was like, well, let's just talk about skill sets. Content, Amanda, you know, you've got a background in content, but you feel like you're the low man on the team. Let's go around the table and talk about how many pieces of web content that, you know, we have each put into the internet, right? So they went to, you know, this manager, that manager said, you know, 25. Next person in line said, oh, I put 50 articles out on the internet before. The next person, well, maybe 100 if you count my video stuff. And they went around the table. When it got to me, I was like, 50,000 articles that I've put out into the internet. So that was like a learning moment, you know, that even though I felt like I was the new person, I didn't know a lot about marketing compared to these other people. The fact of the matter is, in my lane, I eclipse them by, I don't really know how to do math, but, you know, almost 5,000 times, right? So that happens a lot. Imposter syndrome sneaks up on us. Our inner person says, you're not good enough. You're a noob. You're green. You don't know anything. And because of that, you wanting to make something of yourself, you're just an imposter in this world. And something that I've found is that with writers, perhaps because it's an artistic industry, writers tend to be plagued with it more than most people. What do you think, Abby?
Well, I am just sitting here thinking of my own imposter syndrome. I think I'm absolutely agreeing with you. I don't have any statistics or anything to draw from in terms of writers or in other professions, but I do pay attention on social media, and I know I follow lots and lots of people, academics, other podcasters, people in the mental health community who are mental health advocates, just all different kinds of people, those overlapping positions as well. And a lot of the talk is, well, what do I know? Why should I be the one to share this? Why should people listen to me? And that's a hard thing to get over. And I just want to personally say that I haven't gotten over it myself in terms of writing and editing. I've had a writing editing career for about, I guess, 15 years professional experience. That's a lot of years. You would think that I'd be saying, yeah, I can do this. I'm a writer. People pay me for this even.
I, you know, and I hate to throw you under the bus, Abby, but, you know, when we first started getting, you know, the the bones of this podcast together. And I said, hey, Abby, can you, you know, write me a bio of your accomplishments? But we're just like, what? But you bring up a good point, is like, you have 15 years of experience in this business and you still have imposter syndrome. And, you know, that begs the question, at what point are you going to feel like you've made it? Or at what point are you going to feel like you're a success?
Right. And I wish I had the answer to that question. And I think part of that is, how am I going to define having enough knowledge? Or how am I going to define success? How do I define those terms? And I will say that in terms of creative writing, I went to grad school and I went to a writing program where my thesis was essentially short stories and personal essays. And during that time, I said, people would ask me what I do and my major and so forth. And I said, they say, oh, you're a writer. People would introduce me as a writer. And I'd say, well, I'm a person who writes.
Oh, no.
So I got into this grad program, you know, with five other people. And you would think that I would feel good about that. And I did. I definitely did. But at the same time, I thought, well, I can't call myself a writer yet. And it's like, well, when does that end? And I will say that I finally do call myself a writer. I don't know when that changed, but I use that now. Although I feel more confident in the writing that I do professionally and the editing that I do professionally than my creative writing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, we compare ourselves to other people, you know, so it's like, well, when am I going to consider myself a writer finally? Is it going to be when I finish my first novel? Well, then when you finish your first novel, no, I'm not a writer. I don't have any published novels. Mm-hmm. So then you publish your first novel. Oh, I'm not a writer. I don't write full time yet, or make a living from my writing. And then when you finally, you know, write full time, or you make a living from your writing, you know, I'm not a writer, I don't have, you know, like a bestseller on the New York Times list. And it just never ends, ever. You know, so we end up comparing ourselves to other people. It's not realistic. Like, we don't know their journey. Like, there's an iceberg, right, of success. And success, you know, is that tip of the iceberg that we see above the water. But what we don't see below the water is the, you know, 80% of everything that came with it, other failures, other struggles, other adversities. And so we end up comparing ourselves to writers that have, you know, 20 years experience. Like, it can be, you know, pretty disheartening for someone who's only been putting their effort out for 3 years, and they're comparing themselves to, you know, people who might have had a lucky break, or who have been doing this for 20 years, or, you know, like, comparing their work to the work of award-winning authors that, you know, have just been at it longer.
Right. And we don't know whether they have imposter syndrome too. Maybe they're sitting back in their homes on top of all of their awards and saying, hey, wait a second, do I deserve these?
Or this is just paper. What does it really amount to?
Right.
And then they have, you know, their next bar that they have set.
Right, right. One thing that I definitely compare myself to others, and that's one thing that I find in terms of getting over imposter syndrome, is not doing that. And I'm not saying it's easy, but that's one of the things that I've tried to distance myself from. And another thing that I like is, I don't want to make my success about money or about publications. And I know that ultimately, when you're writing, you want the writing to get out there and have it read. But first, I have to concentrate on making the best story that I possibly can. and then worry about that other stuff later.
Yeah, they're two different things. You know, you have the story and then you have the marketing. Like I know as a marketer, right, is that big boy on the block with the billboards and the commercials, are they really, you know, the best choice? Is their company really the best choice, or is the best choice a company that just does not have the cash flow to put themselves out there as much as other people? And so when we correlate success with money, you know, we're not throwing in like the idea that, are we promoting ourselves effectively? Do we even have the tools to promote ourselves effectively? You know, really any hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of factors that go in to, you know, making money. Like making money is over here, and creating something that is good and that works as a product, two different things.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that I like your marketing perspective, because I like hearing about that side of things. And I will say a lot of that is the marketing of oneself is can be uncomfortable, because that taps into, well, am I good enough? Can I say this about myself? Is it true? Is it real? Am I comfortable?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Kevin Costner too. You know, and we think of, if I build it, they will come. Sometimes they will, but sometimes they won't. Like, how do they know that you even built it? But you know, marketing is a completely different topic. And you know, I'm not an expert book marketer. I have no idea about marketing books. I'm a different kind of marketer. But going back to the original point is, we have to look inside ourselves and decide what success means for us. And if that means monetary success, that's fine. But you know, you have to understand what comes with that. And for a lot of us out there, success doesn't mean money, but sometimes we conflate the two.
Right. So much. Oh, I think you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so what other ways do you think there are to battle imposter syndrome outside of defining what success actually means to you?
I think that really looking at who you want to be, and in this case, we're talking about writing. So if you're trying to define what it means to be a writer, then really get a solid definition down of what you think that looks like, feels like, and, you know, don't just think about it, you know, write it down and say, these are the characteristics, and do I fit those? And if I believe that I don't fit those, then what can I do to get there?
Yeah. Setting SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable. So is it even realistic? Relevant is a big one for imposter syndrome. Like, is this goal relevant to what I think, you know, a writer should be? And timely, like, what is, you know, a time frame that I can, you know, achieve this in? And what are the steps that I can take to achieve it in this time frame? So almost like giving yourself a soft deadline. I think, you know, that's really important. Because imposter syndrome is, you know, this little demon, like ghost gremlin thing in the back of your head telling you you're not good enough. But that's not really specific or actionable, mm-hmm, or anything. So one of the best ways to battle that guy is to actually, you know, put everything in action. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm a big believer in setting goals. And I feel like just when you say putting them in action, just the act of doing something, getting you towards the next step, whatever that happens to be, makes you feel good.
Yeah. I don't know who it was, but it might have been like the coach that inspired the movie Coach Carter, but don't attribute this to me, but I heard about an idea that it was some TED talk or something, that the first thing that someone does when they get out of bed every morning is make the bed. Now, I personally am not someone who makes the bed, but the reason why they made the bed in the morning is because they started off their day with a success. Hmm. They made that bed.
Yeah.
Already something that they could check off the list. and make them feel good about what they had already achieved. And, you know, that's in the first 3 minutes upon waking up. So when it comes to writing, like setting these specific goals, these actionable goals, and breaking them down into smaller steps, when you cross something off that to-do list, that feels